Okay, I've got 1:36, and we'll reconvene this regular meeting of the Coryell County Commissioners Court at this time. Noting that all members of the court are present. Picking up with item number 21 on our agenda for today, which is a workshop. Workshop A is a discussion and update concerning the courthouse master plan. Today, our representatives from Architexes are Alexis and Sarah. And I'm sorry because I didn't remember your last names off the top of my head, so that's my fault. And for the most part, I'm going to let them lead us through kind of the discussions and where we are. They have some proposed layouts for what the reconfiguration or configuration of the
This was one you gave us.
That the courthouse would look like, we are about 10 days away from submitting the final draft. And if I understand correctly, and I'll let Alexis talk through this a little bit more, we would receive feedback from the Texas Historic Commission on that final draft. Some wordings or some ideas, some things that they would specifically want to address that we may not have considered in our proposal. And then that will go back to them for final approval, and we will officially have a courthouse master plan. So without talking dates, timelines, I'm going to turn it over to Alexis, and the floor is all yours.
Thank you, Judge Miller. So for the 23rd, we're submitting an official draft to the THC. We've submitted a courtesy review up to this point, and our new reviewer, named Anthony, he was fresh on the job a couple months, but he has not given us any review comments, which I think is a good sign at this point. Right? If there was something blaringly objectionable, he would have responded within the 30-day review window. So the 23rd is our first official draft, and then the THC will have a 30-day official review period, and they will issue formal comments. We'll have 30 days to pick them up, and then that will be the final master plan submission. And we will be your master plan will be complete, and you will be accepted for submitting an application for the courthouse grant process for this round 14 this summer. So that submission is in early May. So that's what I think this is leading up to be able to submit a grant application for that program. You have to have an approved master plan. We are checking the boxes for that. So what I've printed out today is just the drawings. The master plan's a much bigger document, including the history, the building assessments, which is looking at the condition of the building, which I've come and talked to you about many months ago. And then recommendations, which we've also discussed about the departments and where they will be located. So the drawings, there's two staples there. There's the existing drawings and departments, which should just represent how everything is currently over there. So that's no surprise. The proposed is really the important set. And that is a long-term goal for the courthouse and what the county will be telling the THC is the long-term use for it. So the drawing is currently showing the district courtroom to have more of a ceremonial role, but still being set up for a court process for maybe a visiting judge and having the 52nd not be present. It has the county courtroom orientation rotated back so that the judge is facing or has their back toward the west. We have recommended for ballistic glazing in the window, and that would be a part of the desk as well, right? Because I know there's security concerns in that position previously. So that's the layout for the county court was based on the original furniture layout. Similar situation for the district courtroom, the judge's bench and clerk desk. We have the original layout, the furniture, at least position. So the recommendation would be to return that to its original furniture arrangement. For the office spaces, a lot of it is really original to how it was before. So there's not really much of a modification except for reallocation of different offices. So focusing on having the county clerk remain and have him take over that former commissioner court space in the basement. Moving up to the ground floor would have the county judge and two commissioner court precinct offices there. They would be utilizing the county courtroom of the commissioner court. And then moving up to the second floor, I believe that you'll have to remind me the second and the third floor, I am misplaced. So the treasurer office on the second floor with the visiting judge support for the district courtroom. And then the third floor with the auditor counts payable, and then the other two commissioner precinct offices up on the third floor. We will make sure that a PDF is available that can be shared out. Please send us comments about the proposed drawings, about the history section, anything. We're happy to address any concerns that you have. Should we review the building condition concerns?
Alexis, before we get to that, I, if you don't mind, I'd like to go page by page through this to kind of highlight a few things so that they can make some notes. And if you'll echo what, you know, our discussions have been. So if you look at the very first page, the overall picture of the grounds as it's proposed, you will notice that there is a reduction of some vegetation significantly to the northwest corner or northwest quadrant, as well as potentially removing that little limestone tower that has the fire bell there. That may be, and that's one of the things that I believe I've talked to the court in our last meeting in some things we're going to have to consider. And what's really important to us and what is not. You'll also notice that in the northeast quadrant, there is also removal of some vegetation there. And this goes back to the original drawings and original documents and pictures as early as we can get there. So these are things that we're going to have to consider. Noting that it's marked on here underneath a tree, but that rectangle on the northeast quadrant reflects the state of Texas outline little monument thing that, again, that may be asked to be removed. The monument area that's in the semicircle on the northeast quadrant, I do not believe is going to be a point of contention because those are specific names of Coryell County residents that are directly associated with a an American war or conflict of some type. And Alexis, please correct me if I'm wrong. Historically, the historical commission will accept that as on grounds because it is part of the county history, much like records that the county clerk keeps on file. I mean, that is a record of the history of the county. So I don't think that's going to be an issue. It's not quite so noticeable. But if you will note that there are, I believe the little lights are designated on there. We've got X's on the light posts. Is that correct?
I think it's just a symbol used for the light posts, but
okay.
Those would remain.
Okay.
It's just a marker.
In the ledger.
In the ledger, it's just a marker.
What they are. Okay. With that, the newer external floodlights, we're probably going to have some concessions on how those look, a little bit maybe more low profile, less obtrusive or less attention grabbing, so that we can still have the floodlights, I think, really enhance the picture or the beauty of the courthouse at night. But instead of having that larger limestone covering, you know, as technology and lights advance, you know, possibly, and I'm just kind of talking through these points. These are some things. So those would be things on the exterior with the grounds overall.
I have one question. Will removal of the trees help with the algae or whatever that's on the north side?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a good thing.
And the historic photos, it is difficult to tell exactly where the trees are positioned. So I think there's some fine tuning, but there's definitely much less number, quantity of trees in the historic arrangement. And so our period of significance is right at construction, which is typical unless there's a historic event that we're focusing on. So we're looking at a lower number of trees.
That's good. On that side,
especially on the north side.
On the site, some other comments, some accessibility concerns. I think they're minor, but some handrail comments. So just addressing the handrail throughout an entrance to the site.
That is a good point. I believe you do have it on here. If you'll notice that on the front entrance, the Leon Street entrance would have handrails to the outside of the, I mean, to the walls, the at the edge, the left and right edges where the limestone is going up. And do we remove or do we keep that same center piece there?
I think we removed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that so it would, we would still have it accessible and it would go all the way up. So there would not be a gap between where it started and where it ended, because we can work around the wall spaces at the top where we really don't have that ability with the center, the way it's configured currently.
That center there, what's there, railing is the way it was originally. I mean, there's not a picture showing it going all the way to the top of those stairs at all, but it is the center. I don't know about changing that part of it. I'm historically significant. It would be to totally change the arrangement of the railing.
We'll have to see. I think the railing is an addition that was done, and it was not present at its earliest period.
No, we know that, you know, but I do know that the earliest pictures, that rail is still two stairs short. which probably was because that was the one they had on hand.
And I think, you know, and don't get me wrong, I think in our presentation overall with this, the balance between, you know, the modern and the historical. There is going to be a fine line on a lot of those things. If we left that handrail where it is, that's going to entice some people to want to use that, knowing that it's two steps short. So I think the...
Not extended all the way to the top stair. I'm saying that it maybe should still be in the center of the stair.
Oh, okay.
We're not seeing it present until after the 40.
Okay,
so you're thinking that before the 40s there was no railing, not at all.
Yeah, that's not those are photos. I'm pretty sure that's not right. We have pictures of this courthouse before then.
Yeah, we
show this railing this out.
Checked a couple of them, and the 1940s image does not have a railing, and the previous ones do not either.
We can.
But if you have a photo, please let us know.
I'll look. Maybe the date's not. I mean, the date I didn't learn, but there's something the earliest ones that I've seen. They're pretty early.
We can definitely, we've got them in the appendix here on the computer. We can definitely take a look at them.
I mean, I'm the number one person to say extend that rail to the top of the stairs, but at the same time, this is quite a departure from what we've known to be there for quite some time. I agree that aesthetically, just like, I know that was one of your main points, is to have it over to the side, and I think that looks fantastic. I'm just wondering if it's necessary and probably change it that way.
Well, and again, I was looking at it from the, and I kind of took their word for it that, you know, some of the pictures that they've shown me. I mean, we've got several pictures that are dated, you know, prior to that. And I can't say definitively that it was part of the original construction, but I can say definitively some of the pictures that they are showing me reflects that it was not present at some point. So.
Well, that
okay. Any around the room? Any other? Well, we'll put that as a question mark on there so that we can make sure everybody's comfortable with that. Any other comments when we talk about the grounds layout as it is right now? Okay. We'll go into flipping the next sheet. I think the ones of significant note within the basement, eliminating what is now considered the commissioner's courtroom. And some of these things, I think we could, you know, we'll be able to do some of these improvements or enhancements in-house. I think the primary use for that area right now is for the Brose Clinic, which Ms. Dory Mystic conducts down there, and some ceremonial events. Opening that up would, in fact, increase the storage area for the county clerk by about 25%. And in conjunction with this, you'll see where it says at the top, county clerk record storage. Is that is the vault, isn't it? I believe that's the vault. And
I think vault's further over in that corner, isn't it?
Is it
center, right?
Is it the one in the center that's inaccessible? Says inaccessible. Okay.
Yeah.
The same gentleman that did these vault the work on these two vault doors for us, he's going to come back and take a look at that. so we can potentially gain access to that. And at this point, it would not be to drill into it or tap into it, but just from what he can do right now, what would it take to get there? But and it's not completely reflect, but long term, I think it's important that the county clerk have access to that vault area, because that would have been the county clerk's vault area as originally configured. You and me both.
Sorry. I was thinking.
So we can show that as another. Yeah. We won't call it non-accessible, right? We'll show it as another vault space.
I think vault. And we can work out with them later on how we'll, but I want to retain it as a vault. I think that's important.
Down on the right hand side, is that been paved? Or when I was county auditor, that was dirt down in there, and there was a trap door underneath the carpet in my office to get there. Has that been tied in with the
yes rest? Yes, it is. It has a concrete floor to it now. There are no now, other than the vault, which I have not seen, I don't believe there's any exposed dirt floors remaining in the basement area. And so, like, you see the mechanical area, and then to the right of the mechanical area, it says county clerk storage, and then there's a little alcove that hooks around there. It's about 52 square feet that says closet. Currently, the district clerk has records there. Historically, as I've been told, is that, you know, the configuration is for the storage and maintenance of county records. So as we move forward long term, we're going to have to look at additional storage on how do we address the district clerk as opposed to the county clerk. Did I say that correctly?
Well, is adjustable, right? I mean, at this point, it's storage as far as the deed is concerned. The long-term vision that they're interested in is what courts remain, right? And providing public access. So that they are most focused on county judge, commissioner court, and then they like to see the county clerk. But that's a much lower, you know, that's not their top two priority.
So any questions on configuration of the basement?
Let me add that the restroom is slightly reconfigured, that it does meet ADA for when it was renovated, but it does not meet the current standards. And so that would require a reduction in the number of fixtures. But overall, we have enough fixtures within the building.
Right.
All right, so any immediate comments or thoughts? Okay. And I'm probably should have prepped a little bit better. I'm not I really don't know one way or another. I kind of think the answer is no, it wasn't. So there's two entrances where we call like our ADA access. There's two entrances there. The one that is towards the north, is that an original entrance? Do we know if that is?
It was added in as a part of the 87 renovations.
To give access to, because I believe this is where the tax office was at that time. And that gave them independent access for people to come in and pay taxes. That's what I believe to be true. I think it, and probably doesn't have to be updated now or could be. If we're not breaking any codes or anything, I would almost like to see that walled back in. So does that, would that need to be reflected on this diagram for the long term, or?
We don't want to include it. Let me look at the egress on that, just because the clerk space is so large. That may be something that we want to discuss with whomever your local code official authority is, if that is the county or if that's the city. You know, it depends who's the ultimate official, but there would be a part of a discussion.
Okay. But if we were going to look at this just truly being, you know, putting it back as original as we could, that would need to be something to be addressed. Is that correct?
I think that's your option.
Okay.
I don't think the THU would not force you to do that. I think that it's been done well, and it's appropriate how it's been done. So if you want it to remain, it could.
I was looking.
The exit from down there out of the building, if we close that off, would have to be through the elevator or stairs?
No, there would still be the exit that we use as the entrance exit down there for ADA access. It's the one, if you kind of follow the curve up and to the right, it's more at the top there. That's one that, and well, this one down here might not be original too, I mean, as well. But the one at the top, which was the tax office direct access.
Now that we're eliminating what the code calls an assembly space,
mm-hmm.
Now that we're getting rid of that and it's just office and storage, it's a lower occupancy level. So it would be appropriate or could be appropriate.
Okay. That was my last comment on it that still kind of a do out, but I think it's an ugly door. Is really part of it is, I just don't like the aesthetics of.
Well, we had to. It was falling apart.
Well, I know. It's been, yeah. I think we've done as good as we could do. Not that. I just, yeah, well, I wasn't saying that we. I mean, I just think it's an ugly door.
You can put a nicer hollow metal door on it, right? We can improve that situation.
This is
going to be our floor.
Should we
move up to the first floor?
You ready to go to the first floor?
Well, that may not be.
Okay, I think the big highlights here, are the county judge and commissioners moving back to the courthouse. Just anecdotal, but where the assistant for the county judge, I believe originally that was the county attorney's office, and that's anecdotal. I haven't seen anything, but that keeps all of that space still tied with county judge functions, county court functions, as well as the reconfiguring the county courtroom to its original configuration. The custodial office that you see at the top, that originally would have been the jury room for the county court, which there's not a need for one But we do have custodial responsibilities. So that's kind of the, you know, looking at that of where what would make sense. The Historical Commission, and this is kind of following a page from some other counties, as I've seen, they, you know, when they've done their renovations, restorations, a lot of times there will be some space available for your Historical Commission in the historical courthouse to have a meeting space. You know, office, we've got them hidden around the corner back here. They were up there, or no, they were back here. They moved them up there, and then moved them back down around here, around the corner. This would give them an independent space to be able to function, and gives them a neat vault to work with. Same thing with one of the commissioners. I believe there is vault access. I'll have to double check and count the correct number of doors, but you'd have space available to you there. And then again, the preponderance, although it would probably not be occupied as much, but the historical area for the county clerk would remain about where it is. Questions or input on any of that?
Let me add one comment that's in the report is that the terrazzo floor is being recommended to be removed, and for the encaustic tile, like on the other floors, to be restored to the main floor as a part of a full restoration.
Not those tiles were the original one. Some of them, the 4 year, I thought that was the original.
Not on the first floor.
On the second. There it is. Okay.
Yeah, so, and those would remain. We've got a date, I think 1950s-ish, they replaced the first floor and put terrazzo
in. Okay, yeah.
That's the,
okay.
Terrazzo is a fancy word for that big slab of marble looking stuff. And the key indicator is if you, as soon as you walk in the front doors, well, actually you see it on the north door, the porch area, you'll see that the tile work extends out to that little covered area right before you get to the doors. As soon as you walk in the north door, look left and right down at the floor where our two security people are. And you will see that is the original tile floor where they just left it as they cut the terrazzo sheets to fit. And so it would all have that off-white with the kind of reddish, maroonish stars and borders and little...
Be similar to what's upstairs.
Yes.
Would be repeated on the first floor, the main floor.
Second, third floor tile, to the extent possible, is still, it's the original.
And I'll add in office spaces, it's most likely that there's wood floor under the carpet, but Tiffany, maybe you've seen some of it, I don't know. The THC would want that to be restored or replace the wood floor, so offices would have wood flooring and, you know, rugs can be added over that if it's too loud.
Okay, ready to go up a flight? Okay, yeah, I think it's flipping.
Yeah, one back. I don't hear any talk about the 52nd, or are we talking about moving the 52nd out of there?
I think at some point the county would. I'm not saying that we're doing it today, but at some point I think that it would move to another building.
And well, we've got some, these were called, and I think it says the long-term plan. We've got some short-term plans that had the 52nd still in the building.
Okay, because I'm looking here going, I don't know how it would function.
Yeah, about sending those to the THC, they're interested in the full future, long-term look.
Okay.
Because then if you flip two pages then, and again, looking at, you know, long-term second floor, where Judge Farrell and his court reporter are currently located, it says visiting judge and visiting judge support. And that is nothing more than saying that at some point the county would have an additional courtroom. But this courtroom, although it says ceremonial, it will be designed to be a functional courtroom, you know, as part of the renovation.
With the restoration of the court furniture, the judge's bench, and the putting where you see the H, that means it's a historic piece of furniture that's currently in the courthouse, right? So the H for the clerk that's in front of the judge, we believe that was a roll top desk. So one of the roll top desks would be restored and put back into use in the courtroom. That would be the recommendation. But all of those spaces would be designed to meet modern court needs. And those would be designed with the 52nd commenting or whatever court.
Right.
Historically, it had two jury boxes. We're not showing that second jury box, but that's something that could be put in. Interesting.
Each box hold a full jury?
It depended on whether the defendant was right-handed or left-handed. Yeah, they want to do which way.
Thought maybe two trials going on at the same time.
They call in two different juries, right? Jury A, jury B.
They have hard enough time getting one jury.
Yeah. They look for men and women. And there wasn't any men and women. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, anything related to the second floor? Okay, let's move up a level. Flip one page to the third floor. And I guess the two junior commissioners get those. They're the two youngest. I should, but because they can climb the stairs.
We've got that Ben's filing cabinet in there, so yeah. Generally the offices we try to return back to the original larger office space, but you can see there's a little bit of a redesign, the accounts payable, the future internal auditor spaces. But other than that, it's very similar to its current plan.
Yeah, and I can't quote them off the top of my head, but there are some internal walls that have been built that at various levels, that those would be removed. So anything concerning the third floor? Okay. Let's flip the page and go to the north elevation.
Where is the district?
In long term, you know, and I don't know whether that's, you know, 10 years, 20 years, whatever. The district, both the district clerk, district, 52nd district court, county court at law, adult probation, pretrial services, and indigent defense, all of those functions, which were not original functions, well, maybe the district clerk and the 52nd would be, but all of those would be in a new facility, so that this would go back to, you know, very historic and very limited use, so that the courthouse, I don't ever want it to be, or wouldn't want it to be considered a museum. But if we can reduce the amount of traffic that building is burdened with on a daily basis, all it does is extend the life of it. But we don't want to vacate it, because if you vacate it, then that means people aren't flushing commodes and water isn't being circulated and heating and air conditioning systems aren't being utilized. And it would end up causing as many maintenance problems as, you know, just a normal use, or would cause more. So that's, I think, kind of what we're working towards here, is how do we, you know, propose to the state what this looks like at some point in the future, and then we figure out how to work to get there.
I just happened to notice that. Yeah. I saw the county on the different offices, but I didn't see that one, so I didn't know what. That's a good idea.
The biggest negative impacts on these historic courthouses is trying to meet security for active courts, and that they struggle to be able to meet the security needs, just like how doors have had to be closed off to limit security entrance to one door. The THC has recognized that if those active court functions can be relocated to a different facility, and then the courthouse being focused on county judge commissioner court and county clerk, if possible. Those are the public forward functions that are not as law focused, as security focused.
Okay. Any questions about north elevation?
I think the elevation, there's not too much to look at, really. I mean, we all know that there's some sandstone that needs to be addressed, especially at the north porch and the south porch. Barry may jump in, and some areas of limestone repair, but generally, you know, the elevations have not been modified from their original appearance. And so it's just a restoration approach that's needed due to its age. So the roof, the sloped roof areas, the recommendation would be to go back with slate. There are slate samples up in the attic, so those would be used to source, you know, the appropriate slate. The sheet metal roofing, you all know, is that it's end of life, right? And the coatings at this point will only extend it so far, and so it's at a need for replacement. So that's been the recommendations, to replace the sheet metal components on the domes and cupolas. This is not shown on the elevation, but I do want to bring it up while we're talking about sheet metal. The cupola, so the upper portion, I guess we got to get our
bell tower.
Clock is, right? That structure has identified that there's quite a bit of deteriorated wood that they were seeing up there. So that there is a structural concern, not a immediate structural concern, but there's a scope of work that needs to be addressed that's developed up there due to water infiltration.
But I hope nobody panics in hearing that.
No.
No, I walked
because,
up a while back. I didn't fall through.
Right.
I'm happier than
But if you can have the third story office that you could walk up to.
If you,
I was done at the bathroom, didn't answer the phone.
No,
that's nothing like heights. We know that.
Oh.
No,
I was up there.
Yeah, I'm up. So it is 30.
It is 30. Hey, I'll pull the bus up
first. I'm messing with you.
Well, I say that from the standpoint, and Alexis, you chime in. It is quite impressive as to what some of these restoration companies have done with some of our historic courthouses. I mean, some of them have had the bell tower clock areas completely removed, put modern, like, stucco skin all across the entire building. Am I describing that one correct?
These are bad examples, right?
Well, no, but what I'm saying, no, I'm talking about the restoration piece of it is,
yes.
Then with the aid of the state, they came back in and they stripped all of that off, rebuilt things like, you know, so to say there's some degradation there, it's unfortunate, but it's not like, oh my gosh, we're going to lose that tower or something. It is just, it's pretty amazing what they can do to use one pre-existing materials, and then two to recreate if they've got to refabricate or fabricate, I shouldn't say but to fabricate to put it back in original condition.
The work that's been done, there's been great stewardship by the county for the building. The work that's been done has been really great. It's just at a cycle. Right, that it's ready for another cycle of serious maintenance is probably a light word, right? It needs another review structurally. And this is kind of going down a different path, but since we're talking about structure, right? When I was here last, we talked about the rising damp in the basement. That's the other significant condition. And again, not to scare anyone, like this is not a emergency situation, but so what we're seeing in the basement is the sandiness, right, that shows up on the floor. It is moisture that's coming up through the masonry walls. The term is rising damp, and it's likely due to a water source that's under the building. Usually it's spring. And that the masonry walls are not set on stone or a concrete slab. And so they just kind of wake the moisture up, usually extends to about 3 or 4 feet up the wall. It makes the lime-based mortar, which is a good mortar, it makes it degrade. And so that's what we're seeing on the floor is the mortar. So when the mortar's been repointed in the past and not been lime-based, it's had higher Portland, it's been harder than the stone. So it remains and it degrades the stone. So that's the other condition that's more serious for us, right? We would rather have the original stone remain and have the mortar degrade. So there's a couple approaches to it. One is to view it as a maintenance issue and to budget regular repointing of the mortar with lime-based mortar and just deal with the regular sand on the floor, essentially. The other approach would be to insert a concrete footing under the masonry walls, and some counties have done this. I think Lee County is one.
Lee County did it.
That did it, and it's done in stages. It's done in sections, so they don't do all of it at once, and that prevents the moisture from coming up the wall. The structural engineer has also said that that can just be done to the public facing walls, right? Maybe you can deal with the sanding of the back of house walls. There's a couple different options on how to address that, but it'll continue to happen because of that water source, whatever it is. It's not a structural, it becomes a structural concern as the mortar disappears or the stone continues to degrade, but there wasn't a structural concern for you. It's just a maintenance issue.
So it's a constant water problem, not just because of a rain or?
No, yeah, it appears, and this is pretty common, that there's a constant moisture source. So it's probably spring.
There were wells on the lawn, so obviously yeah. There's water not too far down.
Yeah.
Okay, the last one, and it's not depicted here on the south elevation, but I do want to make everybody aware of it, and we'll get pictures out on it. And it is a change to what we see today. If you'll note, to the left-hand side, there is a more modern brick chimney. And I believe it has a functioning purpose because it is part of the venting of the boiler in the basement. Historically, there were two chimneys there. And they were not of a modern brick. They've got some pictures, and we'll get the... we would be strongly encouraged, whether they are functioning or not, to put those chimneys, both of those on the right and left sides, back to how they are depicted in the original pictures. That is, that's going to be a big change. I had not really thought about it until I saw the picture, and I went, oh my gosh, it does not look like what I'm used to seeing. But part of this is, you know, we're going to have to kind of get over some of our perceptions of this is the way we see it, as opposed to this is the way it really was. And I've talked with Alexis about this, that the exteriors to the doors, to the windows, those were not originally painted those colors. Those were stained or varnished window sills and doors. And you can see that throughout portions, especially in the second and third floor office areas, of where the original wood being varnished or stained. I don't know exactly the difference of, but it's whatever that technique was. So there would not be those colors there. It would be the wood tones of how they were stained and protected and coated. So we will get a picture circulated to you, but that's
the chimneys.
Yes, the chimneys.
Like right
by the
statues.
In between, yeah. Mm-hmm. The kind of gray shaded.
To the inside of the statues, yes.
Oh. So right, another one on the other side then. Or is it on the side just behind it?
No, there are two. There would be two. One, I mean, yes, and it's symmetrical. Symmetrical, yes. And but again, the chimney that you see now, if you go over to the courthouse and you look at it right now, you're going to see a chimney there to the left. That is not an original chimney. It's the original flue coming up, but that is not the original design of that chimney.
Do we know what the original look like?
I've seen a picture. They shared a picture, and yes, we do have it, and we will get that circulated to you. It's a little bit more decorative.
Sometimes we can utilize these additional chimneys for exhausting in the building. Sometimes they're just fake.
But I did want you to make you aware of that, because when we do get this circulated around, and I apologize because they sent me the file and I was not able to access the file. But before they leave today, I will get it downloaded on a thumb drive and get it dispersed. And I think some of those pictures are reflected in the overall packet. So you'll see what I'm saying. Because I want to be very clear. I'm not trying to hide anything from anyone. I want to be completely transparent to what we're looking at and what is proposed. Because there, you know, in us submitting this and really the submission isn't so much, but it's the, once we move into the renovation phase, when that point in time comes, this is what we're going to be held the standard, you know, held accountable to. And it just dawned on me that I did not think of it looking that way. But that's the way it really was. Okay.
It can sometimes be difficult because we remember people have a connection with the courthouse of how they remember it, but it may have had another life in a different appearance prior to that. But can be an adjustment. As far as the colors, as when the project receives the programming grant or whenever we want to, there is a finish analysis of expert that we love using. His name's Yanni Langer, but he will come and do testing of all finishes throughout the building and tell you what the original colors and stains and shellacs were.
Shellac, that's good, yeah.
So the long-term plan, that's what we were going to submit to the THC. We could submit the short-term, which has the 52nd remaining in the building, and include that as well. Thank and you. Then we're covered either way with the THC.
Yeah.
Given the limited number of head nods, that may be the thing to do. That may be the thing to do.
I was just kind of slightly nodding, but I didn't find that. It's a lot of volume of information.
Yeah.
So when were the chimneys added? They were original?
They had the two or four.
Four. There's two on the south, two on the north. Okay. And from the historic photos, they were present from the beginning, but then
30s.
We're not exactly sure when they were removed.
I think the 30s. Okay.
And then what you see now is a much more substantial and blocky than the original.
Thank you.
As best I can tell, and I'm just, because there's still at least one remaining fireplace, or I think it's on the third floor. And those follow, there's some flues, some pipe work that follow those four areas. To the best of my knowledge, and that's not the same boiler, but I think the boiler room has been the boiler room all along. Yeah. And that's the one functioning chimney that I think is remaining. One on the north side, on the south side, one has been removed completely. And then I, off the top of my head, I can't tell you what it looks like on the north side. Or I think we still have one chimney on the north side. It's gone too? It's gone? Okay. So out of the four, there is one remaining, but is not in original configuration.
There may have been more, I don't know if boiler is the right term, right? But there was in the county court area, there is reference to a heating floor drill in the original drawing. And in the district courtroom on the third floor, there's this bump out in the southeast corner. So there was at least heated air that was moving through the building from the basement area.
Right here, that, yeah.
So the We want to talk about an estimate. I have a verbal from Phoenix One.
No better time than the present.
Okay. So a full restoration, including the big numbers, which is the rising dam being dug and the terrazzo replacement with the encaustic tile, which is a big effort. Phoenix One has sent me a number of 12 billion as the big ballpark.
$12 million for a total
everything.
Full restoration, everything including right. Project cost.
All in $12 million.
That means addressing the statues, everything. The quote that I got just a little bit.
It's very expensive.
Yes,
we'll get
it's cheaper.
A breakdown of that this week. They're just running behind because all the courthouses.
Okay, so to kind of, and obviously we're not going to decide anything today. I mean, today's not a decision day, but looking forward. So if we said, okay, it's $12 million in today's dollars, currently the max for a restoration with a courthouse master plan coming from the Texas Historic Commission is $10 million. So that means that the county would be on the hook for $2 million for a complete restoration. As the timeline that we've kind of projected right now is this grant cycle would be for a planning grant. And the planning grant would develop all of the engineering documents to do this restoration. And I believe it's even to the point of identifying all the correct materials.
You will have a bid set that you can bid or get a construction manager at risk, whatever your approach is, but you'll have a set that can turn into a project.
So then we look at the next, and so it would give us basically a 2-year window, because then the next grant cycle would be in 2028. And that is the most reasonable, earliest opportunity for us to apply for a renovation grant. And so construction grant. And so as we look down the road, I think the $12 million in 2028 is likely to be more than $12 million. But even if it were 14, $15 million, we're looking at the preponderance of the funding being able to come through the state program.
Are they going to raise the limit on that or no?
They just raised to $10 million 2 years
so
ago.
So nice, it's supposed to go to 12. I don't know if that's what it's all. Going to state, it could go to zero.
And how many courthouses can they do in a cycle?
Well, so this cycle, they've received $100 million, which is double the amount they've ever received in a cycle.
So if all counties applied for the 10, that's 10 counties in one cycle. Okay.
Right. And last time they only did one planning grant, and they preferred construction grant. Right. So we'll see how they feel this time. I was telling Judge Miller that because of the age of Coryell, other courthouses of the same age range have already been restored. So your competition's already completed, really. So you should rise to the top of the scoring bracket. So as long as they are funding a couple of planning grants, you should have a great opportunity at it.
Then I guess I am kind of putting you on the spot. So rather than saying not to put you on the spot, so given your experience, what would, you know, if we contract out, we bid this out for planning, just the creation of the planning documents, what does that cost look like?
I'm gonna have to come up with a number for you.
Okay.
But again, that is it has a reimbursable percentage from the THC, which is similar, right? I think that it's at a 37 from the county, so your 30% contribution. And then that counts towards your 10 million. So I guess that takes a little bit away from the total, but they would contribute to the design fees as well. And I can pull a couple courthouse projects and give you some references.
I mean, I was just kind of spitballing. I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, I don't have any idea. I don't know whether that's $1 million to do, you know, all those design plans and drawings and things, or whether that's 500,000 or whether it's 4 million.
I've got it. Okay. So the THC does have limits on fee percentages.
Okay.
Right. So the fee percentage is 12% of the construction cost.
Okay.
For design. And then they limit it to 4% for construction administration. And that includes all design parties.
Okay, so somebody double check my math.
Planning would be 12% of the 12 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1.44.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what. Okay, so you're looking at 1.4 would be the maximum that they would consider for all of the design plan documents.
And this all is tabulated as a part of the application.
Okay.
Right. So we'll have all these numbers together as okay. part of that.
According to my calculator, it's 1.4. 12% of 12 million.
Okay. So the number I'm putting in my head right now, base price would be the 12 plus the 1.4. So right now we're looking at a complete renovation from design plan documents to completion at today's dollars at 13.4 million.
And we're going to have to come up with right at 420.
Yeah.
Yeah.
420, 450, somewhere. If we've done it today.
Yeah.
2030, that'd be 18.4.
Yeah, but we would be responsible for 30% of the 1.4.
Yeah, it's 420,
which is 432,000.
All right, so then our 10 million gets reduced by the 432. So we would be, either way, I mean, but 13.4 becomes the overall cost, but that's not our out-of-pocket cost. Our out-of-pocket cost is the difference between
about 4 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you just said four.
Yep.
Four would be a good.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
A good number. Okay. Somebody will just call Drayton McLean. Anybody having any speed?
Where you want me, Captain?
Bash, do you have Mr. McLean on?
I'll get right on, man.
Yeah.
Special play in Monday.
We got a goal. We got a ballpark goal.
Well, that's pretty exciting.
Probably know you are.
That's pretty exciting. With the times that Alexis, you want to address what we?
Sure. So the master plan will get approved this spring. So we'll have the final submission in mid-March. The courthouse applications are due for the grant cycle. They're due in late May. So that would be for the planning grant and then for an emergency grant, if you all wanted to pursue that. The THC meeting where they announce the recipients, well they have a meeting which you can speak at in July, and then they will announce within 2 weeks of that. So by the end of July, we'll know who the recipients are of the grant. Once you receive a grant, you have within a year to accept it and get it going, which for the planning grant won't be a problem, right? But similar situation for a construction grant. So we'll have that, the design documents will take about a year, if you can imagine, with the THC reviews and a large design team. And then you would prepare for submission of the grant application for, is that round 15 or 14? Anyway, in 28, right?
Right,
in 28.
Second, you said that was May?
Time frame.
In May. May is when they're due, and it's a 2-year cycle. So again, it would be in July, and then you would have, worst case, a year. Usually you can get a contractor selected or bid before the end of the year, what we see. So
we're looking, thinking about the elevation between of money between now and when we'd be able to get it.
So the number that I've got in my mind, as far as the date, if we're looking at date, there's going to be some milestones along the way. But if we moved as quickly as we could, a restoration of the courthouse would begin in 2029. And I think that's a pretty aggressive timeline, but that would be really the earliest, if you talk about the steps that we have to take as part of the process between now and when we would be awarded and funded and could get it bid out, would be 2029. And that's considering that we're going to be awarded a planning grant out of this cycle. I'm encouraged, even though that historically they've not put precedence on planning grants versus the construction or the restoration grants, their funding has been significantly increased. We do sit very high on the scoring scale, and given that our grant request would be $1.4 million-ish, that leaves the rest of the state to divide up $98.6 million. I think they can get by on 98.6 if Coryell County can get our 1.4. Is that put time?
Thinking about your day.
including escalation and the budget. We haven't seen the final thing yet, so that's something we could comment on.
They will. Usually we'll include a number of what escalation could be. I mean, escalation has been crazy the past couple of years, so who knows? So if it did start in January of 29, these projects run at best 18 months to 2 years to complete. I mean,
if you included a, again, somebody double check my math, a 20% escalation between now and 2029. That would be an additional $2.4 million.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So our our all in at that point, if we're looking at planning and everything in our out of pocket costs, if we're at 13.4 for today's cost, I'm not putting an escalation on the design documents because those are going to be based off of what's submitted. So that 1.4 for that, unless they come back and tell us something different, that's pretty much kind of locked in when we submit the plan. So then you're looking at just the construction cost, which is estimate, today's estimate is 12 million, 20% of that is 2.4. So you're looking at 15.8. You could round off. And if we wanted to talk in general, broad terms, 16 million.
That's what I got.
Is that, I mean,
just to be safe, with some wiggle. Yeah.
Let me throw out there that what Phoenix One traditionally does and what THC recommends is that a 10 to 12% contingency fee is in that budget. So I imagine the $12 million that Kyle gave me on the phone includes a 10% contingency, so you've got a little bit of wiggle there.
And then, as we all know, there's a lot of other ancillary costs, like relocating all of those offices out of there 2 years.
That that's why I think that, you know, it's reasonable if the mark on the wall of what we're planning for today, the number in my mind is we plan 16 million. And depending on how you want to cut up the pie, that's 10 million that comes from the state's funds, split between two grant cycles, and 6 million that we need to, you know, start looking at how do we fund that? How do we make those capital improvement allocations and get the public support? Because ultimately, then it goes back to, does the public support this? And I think once we have the plan approved by the state, we can put some media products together, kind of outline it, maybe have a couple of initial town hall meetings, say, hey, this is what we're looking at. We've got some broad numbers, kind of some marks on the wall, and then start developing that plan and that course of action to hit that trigger that, again, comes really 2029 or 2028 at the earliest, to say, okay, if the state's willing to fund us, are we ready to pull the trigger and move forward with, all those ancillary things like you were saying about, you know, where do you put offices temporarily? What do we need to do to coordinate so that we maintain continuity of county functions? And being able to fund that with an additional 6 million.
And any impact on that parking?
From square?
Oh, yeah. Because they're going to want a lay down yard for all the materials and stuff. So you're going to have to. There's going to have to be a big space for a lot of lay-down material.
Was the wall original? It was?
Yeah.
I know Hamilton had one. I was over there. That's where I patrolled. And and they made them take theirs down because theirs wasn't original.
And, well, they had that poured concrete too, though.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of like a bench all the way around their courthouse.
Yeah. Okay. I was just looking at old photos and they all had it, but I didn't know where it was.
So this is all, this is pretty much a retaining wall on some of it.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
What about the sprinkler system we put in? Is that going to have to come out?
We got it approved through them.
That works.
We got it approved through.
We got for some modification. Some of it spraying on the limestone. Oh, other than that, it'll.
Well, that's his fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say this, you know, not to, it's spraying a lot less on it now,
right,
than when we were watering with sprinklers. And if we need to,
I thought that was my part in play, but
well, I took one of them out the other day that was spraying something.
Really?
Hmm. I think it's probably
I mean, it could be something that we look at, because I'm sure that they would work with some modifications if need be, you know, if we
change that.
That area on the to the interior of the sidewalk, so sidewalk to the building, that's really the part that would be most of a concern. And I'm sure that there are some landscaping techniques that would be consistent with that time period that we could implement, and then just remove those.
Fresh granite.
Dirt. Good old dirt.
I'm sorry.
No, but I'm saying there are some things I think that could be done. That
what they had St. Augustine back there.
I can't believe you're taking out the Siberian elm, Siberian elm in the southwest corner. I mean, we called three Aggies out here to identify that tree to try to save it. No, it's no big deal. It's falling apart. It's gone its life.
We might proactively do that one.
Yeah.
This is just kind of random, and I mean, this is kind of a conversation. Those benches that are out there. Does anybody know where they came from? When, because I'm pretty sure they're not original, and I'm pretty sure that's not original color.
The benches.
They're of the Victorian era.
Yeah, we have
the metal. The metal.
We don't have a photo of them out there, but they are period appropriate.
They're not exactly stable at the moment.
No.
So there's nothing historic about them, as far as you can tell.
We have no evidence that they were there historically, so that there's nothing requiring them to remain.
Imagine back in the day, they all just sit on the right wall.
That's what we did during election.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the chalkboard out there. That,
really?
Again, this is not one we have to discuss today. I mean, if we're going to maintain those benches, I would ask this court to strongly consider a different color. And I'm sure that they get utilized by someone at some time, but I can't remember seeing anyone sitting on one of those benches.
Probably a smoker. Probably a smoker.
I don't think that they sit on the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, the ones that I see, so again, no, that's not a decision point today, but,
we're actually showing them relocated to be along pathways, because currently you're right, they're just
kind of off in the field. And yeah, I think we tried to stun one while we were working, but otherwise I haven't seen anyone go across the grass.
Yeah, I think all of them are on pathways except for one. Just
right.
Yeah.
Have one of them, yeah.
On the one corner that is, I see the house of
East.
Yeah, that one is probably trying to get home.
We've been to the south. Yeah, we've been over here. Yeah.
Okay. We're about 30 minutes past kind of what I templated, and I know they've got, you know, some travel time back. Any other comments or feedback, any input at this point? I know we haven't got any document. I was going to ask, I'll get a thumb drive from Lisa here just as soon as we wrap up, and if you could just put it on thumb drive, I can take care of the rest of it. The photos are all part of that document as well. Okay.
It's large inside, but
yeah. No, that
there.
Okay. So, and that's what I you know, obviously, take a look at the wording and the, specifically, or, you know, most importantly, the historical part of it. But then also look through the photos to help you kind of formulate. And I think that's where you're going to see there's a very clear picture of these two chimneys. I think that's going to be the one that's going to catch people's attention because it caught mine. I was like, just kind of went, wow, it, because it was not how I envisioned the front of the courthouse. Okay. So let's do one quick around the room. Tiffany, anything? Commissioner Basham?
No.
Mr. Whittle?
No, sir.
Mr. Matthews?
Evan.
Ms. Newton? Ms. Taylor?
Well, I don't know. I do have a question.
Yes.
So it's not in reference to this, but it is.
It's a workshop.
You know what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, have you heard anymore whether or not we're going to be able to put the letter on the courthouse lawn?
Alexis, can you help us address that? This goes to the Alamo Society, you know, initiative for the Travis letter. You see where we have our historical marker designations to the front. One of the proposals has been to place that letter on a cradle. I think that's the right
limestone cradle. The limestone is supposed to be the same limestone as the courthouse. We have specifically asked for that. And they tell us that they can give us that. So,
think as a part of the master plan process, especially with the approved master plan, which we will have shortly, that any changes to the courthouse and the courthouse square have to be reviewed or should be reviewed by the THC reviewer. So it would be something that should be submitted to our new reviewer, Anthony, for comment. And what I would anticipate him commenting on is just like the other monuments that are in the square, they're looking for things that are connected to the county. So if it's a monument that's not directly connected to the county and the county history, they would prefer that it was located elsewhere, not on the square.
Even though it's Texas.
Because it's not county related. And so the county square, they prefer to be anything directly connected to the county.
So the 30 or so counties that have already put one on the,
right,
on the lawn, did it without THC permission, or
no? That's what I'm curious to ask. So yes, do they have to have the THC's permission? No. Do they need to receive THC funding in the future? Yes.
So it's a possibility if they've already done it and they haven't gone through this process that they would have to remove it.
Yes. Yeah.
To be able to get them the grant.
Or if they've already restored their courthouse, they could be just in contention with the THC. The THC is going to send them a letter saying it's not appropriate.
Yeah, either move it or we're going to take our money back.
You don't know that they would make it to that point, right?
Guess how the depending on how the response would be to the letter they sent.
Yeah. So if we were to seek permission from THC, better to do it now while we're in the process or after we have the master plan?
I would encourage you to seek permission at either step if you are going to pursue funding from the THC. Because technically, the county is to seek the states or make the state aware of changes to the courthouse and courthouse square.
And you said if we're seeking funding from the THC,
well,
or we're not.
That's for the
courthouse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're talking about the $12 million there.
Okay.
The question would be, is it worth losing a $12 million or $10 million?
Yeah.
Over
sure.
This letter.
Can it go somewhere else in town? That
well, that's the question we're going to have to ask because when the society set that up, they were wanting that to be placed on every courthouse lawn. And so that's where we are now, and we're in limbo. We don't really know. But I think you pretty well answered the question.
But... No, but that is a valid question, valid point. This is the right time to ask.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Okay. Sherry, did you have anything else?
One thing we haven't talked about is what about the bees?
I didn't know it was the bees.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? I already moved to McGee. We're not going to keep one with you.
But they may be original, so we can keep
them. What I mean is that right now we haven't had any thrower issue with it.
The last time I went up there,
there was some damage, but I mean, they sprayed again, so.
What, when? I was just wondering, because when I went up there to
I guess
set the lights for, what did you say, 2 months?
I went back to turn set up for 6 to 6. I've already turned them off.
You're talking lights. We're back on bees. We're talking bees. We didn't set the bees 6 to 6.
Bees are light.
Well,
bees.
That's when I saw the bees.
Oh, yeah, there's
bees up at the eagle, right?
Oh, these are the ones that we addressed.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think we've really addressed the bees at the eagle yet. That's the.
Anyway.
Future bee.
That's the next bee phase.
Oh, there's some upstairs bees and the downstairs bees.
Yes.
There's a hole in the eagle that they're investing in.
It's really what's caused the problem, not the bees, but right. Mm. Has that been included in this?
Yes. I think to address it, in the sheet metal cornice needs to be removed from the exterior to be able to clean out everything. Because otherwise, it's such a tight space from the attic, I don't think you'll be able to get to it. So as a part of the courthouse restoration, they would have the scaffolding or the lift at that point, but then be able to.
But that particular thing has been included in the cost of what we're planning here?
Yes, and is a part of the assessment and recommendation.
And so that we don't, so we're not adding to the problem. I'm going to put words in Commissioner Basham's mouth. We're still going to continue to aggressively pursue the bee issue. But until we get to the point of a restoration, the honeycomb and the residual, all of that in there, there's nothing we can do at this point. I mean, it's going to be there. And if my history lessons serve me correctly, they found honey and honeycomb like in some Egyptian tombs, that it just doesn't go away. So unless it is physically removed, it's going to be there at some, no bee, but it's going to exist at some form until we get to the restoration piece. But we're not going to ignore the fact that we need to eliminate bees or relocate them as aggressively as we possibly can.
We took out over 18 pounds of honeycomb.
How much?
18 pounds.
18.
It didn't take that long to get that big, too. I mean, I had to deal
with that. That was the area that we had addressed, and we didn't see any bees in that area, but I'm not saying it's not elsewhere.
And this is not their active time.
Right. I don't know why I think the other day was sunshine. The poor thing was confused. They were looking for flowers.
Danny, do you have any?
Just one quick question. We have a historical commission meeting tomorrow. Can we take copies of these to our meeting? Or thank you. So,
okay.
We would appreciate any comment and review, especially of the historical section of the report.
Okay. And Judge Miller will get that to us.
As quick as I can.
Once we get it accessible.
Put in on some thumb drives. Mr. Mannix, you have sat very patient and quietly back there. Did you have any closing comments? Okay.
He's here for the MRB.
Okay.
That's what I went back there and talked to him about. I said, I don't think that's happening.
Anything from the bailiff department? You're good? Okay.
Shut up. Hurry up. I'm going to go home.
Yeah. Last.
That's what Johnny would have said.
Last and certainly not least, our record keeper, Ms. Newton. Anything from your corner of the world? Okay. Very good. I appreciate everyone's time today. Very, very good. Alexis and Sarah, I can't tell you thank you enough for all the good work that you've done. It's a really exciting time. That concludes the business of the court today. We stand adjourned. Thank you all.